My lesson this morning will be on Romans 12. This is not a new topic by any means. This is not a topic that is probably going to be of any new revelation to anybody, but it is a topic that I believe is very important for us to revisit from time to time. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So what does this mean to us, to present our bodies as living sacrifices? First, I think it's always a good idea to go back and see what God would desire from a sacrifice. And I've compiled a short list of these things. I think that God expects to be first in our lives. And because He expects to be first, He also expects us to offer up or sacrifice things that are of value to us, things that we desire. In fact, we should be willing to offer up everything that we have back to God, because it was Him who saw fit to bless us with it in the first place. A good example of that is Abraham and his unquestioning willingness to offer back his only son that God had promised him. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 3. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." I really like that response, by the way. Nobody expects in this day and age to be spoken to by God, but it's always been on the back of my mind, what would I say to God? It's a very simple answer. He just says, "Here I am." He says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." We know the rest of the story, that God had an angel stop Abraham because of his show of faith and his willingness to give his son back to God. Another instance that we have in the scripture that shows what we should or possibly shouldn't be willing to give back to God in this case was King David and the building of the altar on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And please excuse me if I'm not pronouncing these things correctly. I am an American and we are notorious for pronouncing things wrong. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. "And Gad came that day to David and said to him, 'Go up, raise an altar on the Lord, or to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite.' So David went up at Gad's word, as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said to him, 'Why has my lord the king come to his servant?' David said, 'To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people.' And Araunah said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All of this, O king,' Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said, 'May the Lord God accept you.' But the king said to Araunah, 'No, I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord that cost me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar there to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel." God was pleased with David. He saw that his heart was good and his sacrifice was accepted, and he was actually responded in the way that David was asking for. Now, I would guess that this was a fairly low price for such an item, even in those days, but the price was not the thing of the matter. The price was not the point. David would not offer up sacrifices that didn't cost him anything. And whether it be monetary cost, physical cost, or thought, I think that we can follow that same example. If it's something that causes no change in our life to give up, you cannot call that a sacrifice. Too often we don't offer up the things that we can. The biggest thing that I don't do, and a lot of us don't, would be our time. That's the easiest thing that we have to give up. Something that we would be able to set aside, time. And it's just one of those continual things that you have to remind yourself. And it doesn't cost us much. Just like this threshing floor must not have cost David that much. You have to remember that David was not bad off by any means. So those 50 shekels of silver, I'm sure he didn't miss. God expects the best to be sacrificed. Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? God had no regard for Cain's offering, because according to God he did not do well, proving that just because you say you're sacrificing something, or even if you do sacrifice something, your sacrifice is not automatically acceptable to God. Especially if what you choose to sacrifice is not something that God desires, is not something that God would want. And his sacrifice that he wants from us is very simple. It's repeated time and time again. It's just to believe, be baptized, and abide by his word. What that means to me is that we should not expect to be accepted, and we should give with a humble heart, knowing that we are giving to God what already belongs to him, hoping that he will see fit to accept it, knowing that without his grace, no amount of sacrifice in our lives would be able to save us. Another example of where God shows what he expects, and it shows that he expects the best, is in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. Without blemish, spotless. God desires spotless sheep. We are his sheep, and we cannot obtain a spotless existence without first accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so subsequently, we must be cleansed through baptism first in order to sacrifice ourselves and be accepted by God. So back to the point of Romans 12, how do we sacrifice our bodies? I'll start kind of from the ground up. Our feet. What is the purpose of our feet? And what do? They take us places. Deuteronomy 11, verse 24. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. This is kind of often no man's land. It doesn't have a whole lot of bearing on the issue. It just shows us that our feet take us places. So how do you sacrifice that to God? Everywhere you go, God should be seen in you. He has blessed you with the opportunity to be there. So give thanks to him for bringing you to this point. Our feet also allow us to stand. And more importantly, they allow us to stand with balance, stand firm. And for us to offer that up would be for us to stand firm for Christ and not waver when we are tempted, tried, and when things just aren't going our way. Our legs, inseparable from the feet, speaking not in literal terms, of course. Our legs along with our feet, carry us places. Without our legs, we would be as the lame that Jesus healed. When he healed them, he said, arise, take up your bed and walk. But he had one request on their part. Go and tell of what the Lord has done for you. I'm sure the lesson was not lost on that man, and that the Lord had blessed him with the ability to be mobile once again. So with our feet and our legs, we can carry the message of the Lord to others. The Bible also speaks of running. Psalms 119 and 32. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Still speaking of running, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. We know what our prize is. It's eternal life with the Father. We know that our prize is not one we can win on our own. Paul is telling the Corinthians that in order to obtain that prize, you must run with all that is in you. In a race, it would make no sense to enter the race and walk. I don't know of any successful runners who walk when they're tired or stop running when they get a cramp. Our race is one that is of a great distance. For us to walk would put us far behind. This is one race that we do not want to move slowly or stop when we are tired. And we certainly do not want to be left behind in the end because we could not persevere through the difficult times in our lives. Because we are told in Romans 8 that the suffering of this present time is not worth being compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us in heaven. Sacrifice of our heart and our head. I'm going to skip the arms and hands. I'll come back to them in a second. I will link the heart and the head together in this lesson because they are used interchangeably many times. I think that the two could probably be considered the easiest to define what a sacrifice would entail, because it's difficult, but it's very difficult to enact the sacrifice, because the sacrifice of these things would necessitate the desire and the willingness to actually follow through with what we know is right, which we all know is not a very easy task at all times. If our heart wills to do one thing, but God has told us that we should not do that, then sacrifice of the heart would be for us to do what God wants and not what we want for ourselves, which is contrary to not only our own nature, as some would try to tell us, but it's contrary to what we see all around us. It's contrary to the world that we live in. Everyone and everything else around us seems to propose to us that we should do exactly whatever it is we feel we should do, because that's what we deserve, in quotes. And we deserve, in quotes, to treat ourselves right, in quotes. These things are not beneficial. Many of these things are not beneficial. But oftentimes what they're actually trying to tell you is to remove your inhibitions of being subservient to any higher power than yourself, which we all know is not how we should live. Romans 7, verses 14 through 16. For we know that the law is spiritual. I am of the flesh, sold under sin, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. We, just like Paul, have a tendency to not follow the law. And as Christians who have decided to follow Jesus, our heart lies there in following his commands. So if we do not offer up our hearts and we do not follow the Lord, therefore making sacrifice of our hearts, the first sacrifice we must make. Because in order for us to follow him in any other way, we must first have the desire and the action in our heart. Our arms and hands. The purpose of our arms and hands, like the legs and feet, are inseparable. Our arms hold things, and our hands can hold things. With our arms and hands, we can lift things up. and in offering lift things up to God. We also fight with the use of our arms and hands. In our hands we can wield swords in battle. Our sword, of course, is the Word of God, and we must use it daily in our battles. Ephesians 6 and 17 says, speaking of the armor of God, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We also use our arms and hands to lift ourselves back up off the ground when we fall. And we know that sin is falling short of the glory of God. It's missing our mark. And this meeting house would be empty and lifeless if the story ended there. So thank God that it doesn't. Our Lord and Savior, the Creator of all things, has compassion on us when we fall, when we fail. He helps to lift us back up so that we can go on serving Him. In order to sacrifice our bodies, I believe that we first must make the decision in our hearts and minds, because they control the rest. Each of our parts has a different purpose, and God has designed us beautifully and intricately. He has given us many parts for many purposes. Romans, when Paul is speaking to the church, reflects that. It says, Romans 12 and 4 through 6, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." I believe that this is based on our bodies for a very simple reason. The church, each part or each person has a specific purpose for worship, which therefore gives us confidence to say that each part of our physical bodies has a purpose for worship as well. As Paul states, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices is our spiritual worship. So stand tall, reflect the light, and give God the glory. Give Him yourself. We are only here for a short time, and there is no time for neglecting our calling. If there is any way that this congregation can help you in that, if you have made the decision in your heart to sacrifice yourself to God, please let that be known as we stand and sing.